This is Ilona Galloway Dutton reading her story in three parts, The Silent Disease, for Streets Unmasked. Part 1, The Silent Disease.
To the world, a dream may be being able to hug their loved ones, going to the pub, walking freely around the moor. The dream for me was a conversation I could have every Thursday to get my lamb chops. Enough adventure inside, the steel bench waited for my company. I had felt like a celebrity for all of 1 minute. Never had I desired the limelight until June left. I had always been part of a two, a couple holding hands ready to take on the world, but nothing had ever prepared me for mandatory loneliness like her leaving. The warmth of emerging sun clasped to my face. Opening time. The crowds do not fill the moor. No longer is there a play to be watched, more a sole performance performed in multiple locations. The quiet would be welcomed, if it had not been enforceable for the past year, on and off. Everyone performs their own part, all in solitude. A dash of chatter flashes past me every now and again, in couples holding hands and drinking hot coffees. The only places open are those serving, a fresh hope of the black liquid, awakening the senses, so deprived of stimulation. The sudden sighting of a couple reminds me of my own need to communicate. The chat I so dreadfully crave. Hand in hand, ready to take on the disease, masked. Most importantly, together. A city full of masks. A tumbleweed of a once-needed mask, now dismissed to a life of litter, skits across a quiet pavement. The shutters remain closed on most shops. I empathise with the closed shutters. I had felt as if the shutters had descended on me after the big birthday. I was no longer essential. A hope is ahead, but most have been isolated, lonely, away from loved ones. More people start to filter through the centre. A sole walker checks the map looking for his destination. It feels almost criminal to be pursuing an adventure. The green bones of Sheffield never do seem to quieten, even in lockdown. The flash of his olive backpack as he carefully studies his room screams a need for greenery, hills and away from the once busy centre. Now an escape from just every day. Not even an escape from a city with so little features of a city once busy. My journey started earlier this morning. The bellows of the Moor Market entrance housing the fleeting starlings, diving in and out for the pastry crumbs, remnants of spilled coffee, and a chance of being fed. Tap! My stick hits the pavement. One step. Two step. No longer feeling an ever-increasing pressure to be quicker. Move out of the way for the busy man. No one could claim to be the busiest person anymore. I am aware that I only make this sound. Only am I seen as a nuisance or recognised by the tapping of my faithful support. Otherwise, I am silent to the masses. The hollow shell of the market echoes my support friend. But as I draw closer to Mallows, the hustle and bustle seems to have discovered itself a new place. Indoors at the butcher's. 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes before returning to the flat. Returning to safety would have been a more urgent need, but since having the vaccine, I no longer fear the disease. I fear the other disease, the one we don't want to acknowledge, the silent killer. The one we all have had a taste of at any point, at some point, creeping through the forts at night, lurking in the all too familiar territory. The one where you can be complicit despite being in a room full of people, despite talking to all of your friends, despite having a partner to share your thoughts with. The silent disease, even more amplified as age passes by. Loneliness. The silent disease was deafened by the bustle of the city on Mondays and Thursdays. The white noise of people had become a comfort, but not even this could comfort my own isolation now. Instead, the songbirds reigned, the bare trees exposed the maestros at work, ready to perform. The loudest of all performances. No more white noise. Rather, the greenery of the city had struck once more. The atmosphere of people had turned into a concert of nature, displaying for all to see. It was hard to hold an atmosphere in a city full of masks, despite smiling eyes occasionally locking with my own. The birds had stepped up their game to perform for all the lonely souls, trapped by their own restrictions, government restrictions, or just simple silent disease. A sudden flash of brown hair and a surprising hand. Grandad! No, Ellie, no, so sorry. You look just like a grandad. A friendly face locked eyes with mine. Ah, don't worry, love. Two acknowledgements in one day. I must be special. Time for home.
Part 2. Small dreams, big risks.
The mighty footstep descended onto a welcoming high street. Which place first? Perhaps the exotic delights of fast, cheap fashion. The swathes of people littered the street. An eager busker's saxophone filled the air. A careless whisper is my soundtrack. The piece descended into organised chaos. I am not distinguishable amongst the crowds. The return to normal has really quickened. Overnight, the dormant stores secretly preparing. Days before a menagerie of people behind the locked doors of shops become moving mannequins, preparing for a return to normal. Every now and again, a mannequin resumed its seat in the busy crowds. A flash of a mask turning its head side to side, following the waves of unfamiliarity. The want and need for distant, exotic destinations is an unrealistic dream, but the need to see her again, no longer a dream. My city. Sheffield is exotic enough for me. The flags cascaded along the pilgrim route, each one rippling in the wind. An advertisement begging for attention after being so long ignored. The flags cascaded along the pilgrim route, each one rippling in the wind. An advertisement begging for attention after being so long ignored. Each flagpole invited a new place, a new opportunity, on the pilgrimage of the once-sleeping high street. Alive with the buzz of people, replacing the joyful birdsong that radiated in the quiet emptiness previously. The Republic is reborn. She has felt no power, not even willpower. The pilgrimage of the High Street is the grand reopening of the Republic. For so long, the lockdown retained the people of this city. Now it is our time. Come on, there's lots to do. Yes, we've all had it. Just the kids really now. A flash. Humans replaced by more humans. An acceptable game of musical chairs. Parties are still a step too far. The steel bench has been welcomed by more people than it's seen in an entire year. The wary one who complains about the price of an espresso. The small one dangling legs between the ground and bench, reminded of their need to keep growing, scuffs the top of the steel seat. The suited one with a very important meeting. All come and gone, replaced by more stories, scents, worries. A flurry of masks bathed in chin. The ice latte had taken priority over the C word. A break. Every man on his journey, be it a pilgrimage or a trip to Primark, needed his rest. While I had been alone for most of the C word, liberating to be with her now, it was. To be amongst her organised chaos, her grand reopening. Her hills have breathed during the suppression. The birds had rejoiced. Now it was her time to shine. How she glows now. She is rediscovered. It's certainly much busier, isn't it now? A familiar accent, a friendly face, and surprising social contact. It's great to be out. Aye, it is, isn't it, love? But no one talks anymore. Everyone's gone back to being busy. I looked around. Everyone appeared happy, but there was no eye contact. Really, who could blame people? They were busy considering their important landmarks. I am no longer considering my sofa, kitchen, or bed a destination. The possibilities presented are freeing. An alarm set me on edge. A sudden assault of noise invaded my space. The air raid siren echoed in waves through the moor. I quickly reminded myself it was the 1 p.m. signal. Some say it was to remind workers of their lunch breaks, others for the purpose of regulating time. It's a Sheffield thing. Time, not precious, for months. The sudden ambush had grounded me back to where I was. Outside, freedom is mine. Time is now resumed. Appointments, work, people, shops. Ah, that reminds me of the good days. That's my cue. I must go and get my bus now. My flat waits for me. Have a nice day. The old man shuffled into the crowd, armed with his stick ready to face the wave. The end of the pilgrimage, heavily guarded by the brutalist council buildings, overseeing all operations, all routes. The ugly brick is a reminder in the background of the ugly C word. My city is beckoning me back with hopes of normality. The tumbleweed masks reminded me of the challenges yet to be faced.
Part 3. Grandad.
It's just for a year travelling. I'll be back before you know it, Mum. I'm just a bit worried. You're going on your own. Bad things can happen. Danger is everywhere, Mum, whether I'm in Sheffield or Thailand. Yeah, but I can't exactly pick up the pieces in Thailand, can I? Of course you can. And for the price of a taxi here, I'll have a 5-star hotel over there. I just want you to be safe, love. Just like that, it had been decided. Well, not really. It had taken a year of saving, 2 weeks trying to work up the courage to entertain the idea, a week of clambering courage to announce to Mum her grand scheme. Leaving Sheffield. Leaving normality. Little did she know she would crave the offerings of the moor further down the line, the hustle and bustle of familiarity. It was inevitable that longing for home would be there for the first couple of months. She hadn't thought she would need it to be an emotion, a few years away. Holiday promises revived in Sheffield, but she did not need a holiday, she wanted home. The final hurdle pushed further out. Another obstacle to face. Holly had managed to return to her homeland, South Yorkshire. At the cost of isolating for 2 weeks upon her return, she was happy once more to be reunited with Sheffield. A year minimum had been the idea, although she didn't tell Mum that. Then another. Then esteemed job offers. Then friends. Another year. A further year, and then, when Sheffield would start to creep into her thoughts, her dreams, then the homesick feeling in her tummy. The tummy feelings had slipped into her dreams around January, but were dismissed savagely as post-Christmas blues. Teaching had soon slipped her back to her routine at the start of term. Grandad had called the first day of term, as he always did. She relished the sound of home through the dull, lower tones of her granddad's voice. Teaching had soon slipped her back to a routine at the start of term. Granddad had called the first day of term. She relished the sound of home through the dull, lower tones of her granddad's voice, beckoning a welcoming city back home. First clue. Back home. She had not said that for 2 years now. Thailand had become home. The new start of term had rocketed back at her. The overindulgence of Christmas, leaving its markings into the new year. Instead of the merriment, it had always been bloated, dark and returned to normality. It wasn't really dark though, not like home. It was an 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. darkness to darkness, but all the English TEFL teachers had discussed that despite being somewhere nicer, abroad, the cultural feel of January still radiated from all British teachers in the school. The melancholy had, however, started to become displaced by danger. A new virus is intoxicating China. Second clue. The children had questioned and questioned. Will it come here? Are we in trouble, miss? Are we safe? When Mum had mentioned danger 4 years ago, she had not specified what sort. I reverted to my 22-year-old self. No need to worry. It will be sorted. We are not in danger here. I half believed myself as the words tumbled out of my mouth at the time. Final clue. Here was the danger that any protective parent could not have imagined or prepared for. Pandemic hit. Homesick feelings got stronger and stronger. Isolation enabled regret. Regret enabled action. Restrictions facilitated further regret and prohibited action. No one had told her that at 22, it's quite easy to get up and leave. At 26, there were more dynamics, pandemic or no pandemic. March 22 had converted itself to an official title of June 2021. Here she was, a whole year later. Grandad had beckoned her back with his soothing, sweet tones. Finally, she could see him. In her youth and willingness to drop all familiarity, she had come full circle, returning to home, to that need to be attached. That need to feel alive and be near those alive. Alive the more what? People lulled between buildings, drifting humans between shops, pigeons dotted in between. It wasn't quite the feeling of hot pavement radiating below her sandals, but if she wanted hot, she didn't want Sheffield. Placing herself on the bench midway, she waited for her arrival. Glancing to her left, she saw departures for Portugal advertised in the window. Get away from the UK, as if in blinding lights, to spotlight the departure from Corona. She could almost imagine the arrivals board at the airport she had escaped. Grandad arriving at 1:23 p.m, Shirecliff to town centre. She couldn't wait to hug him. She tapped her feet on the ground. A lady's shoes echoed her tapping a metre away. A dull, lulling background noise signalled distant chatter. People watching had been a favourite of her and Grandad when they met for coffee. She had full potential whilst watching out for him. An older woman came and sat nearby. The seat had politely invited her for a brief snack stop. Every now and again, a crinkling back, she revealed a new purchase, admired for 20 seconds. The purchase then replaced by another jewel. It was clearly important she showcase her possessions. After multiple products were shown, a sign of contentment. Then off she left from her landing position to continue her journey. Where was Grandad?
This has been Ilona Galloway Dutton reading her story in three parts, The Silent Disease, For Streets Unmasked.